Philippians chapter number 2. Book of Philippians chapter number 2. Tonight, as I preach, I'm going to preach something that I preached to the teens the very first Sunday I was here. So it's retro night. Is that what you call it? Throwback? Throwback night? And you say, well, that's because it's been a long week, Pastor John, and you really don't have anything else to give us. Is that right? Wrong. As a matter of fact, I got so many things that I want to preach. I have been thinking about this and praying hard about it. Maybe it's why my stomach is so churning today. Because constantly, it was going through my mind and I was asking the Lord, what about this? And God, what about that? And should I preach this? And how do you want me to say this? And should I not say this? And God, what about constantly? And those of you that are preachers and have ever preached anything, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But then, when I realized, hey, I've got two times left that I'm going to preach, God, please give me good wisdom to know what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And constantly, as I was thinking about it and praying about it, over and over and over, God said, this is what you're supposed to preach. And I said, but God, I've already preached that. They will understand when I mention this one particular thing, they're going to know what it is right away. God said, tough, that's what you're supposed to preach. So tonight, I'm going to preach something that is, to me, a passion. Really is. Tremendous passion. And that is our attitude. Now, teens that have been here for a long time, let's see, that would have been Lem, Joyce, Ep. Who else? Long time. Is that all the ones that are here? Because Miss Jen was already out. So yes. Do you remember, Lem, when I preached on attitudes in teen class? That was a long time ago. Ep, do you remember it? Joyce, do you remember it? Okay. Tonight, I think that this one particular aspect has no age limit whatsoever. You struggle with this as much as I struggle with this. I don't care if your name is Jim Jones, Brian Heath, or anybody else in here tonight, or Jonathan Loggins, you struggle with this one word called attitude. Am I right? Am I right? And it doesn't matter if you are a guy or a girl. It doesn't matter if you're as young as Silas back there, or if you're really, really old. And I'm not going to mention any names when it comes to that category. Okay? It doesn't matter. Because I know that if I were to ask Brother Jones to come up and give a testimony tonight, he would probably tell you, yes, I've got to constantly keep my attitude in check. When he goes to different churches, some churches pay better than others, don't they, Brother Jones? It's true. Some churches you go to and they're a big church. And you get done and you end up with a $100 check. You say, man, that was a long day's work. And I put more than $100 in my gasoline tank. Right, Brother Jones? I know. I come from a pastor's home. And I hear a lot when the missionaries come through. And I can remember, vividly remember, and their response was, some of them griped and complained. Others of them said, hey, God always keeps a better record than I ever can. The difference between the two missionaries was one word. Attitude. Attitude. You all have it. You all have attitude. Now, some attitudes are good. Some attitudes are lousy. Do you realize that the Bible never mentions that one word, attitude? You'll never find it. Look in your Strong's Concordance. You'll never find that word, attitude. But as we go through the lesson tonight, and I'm going to teach it as if I taught it to the teens, way back when, long time ago, far away place, downstairs. All right? That's how I'm going to teach it tonight. As if you're one giant Sunday school class. I'm going to ask for feedback. Please raise your hand or just shout it right out. I'm used to teens. Sometimes they raise their hand. They're polite and courteous. Other times, they just say it like it is. Isn't that right, Joyce? I remember that. Well, it's exactly right. They do. They shout it right out. So we're going to do that tonight. Philippians chapter 2. That will be our text, but we're also going to go to Proverbs, so I'll be in both. This one word, attitude, is extremely important. It really is important, because as we go through and realize what an attitude actually is, we realize that as your attitude is, it will directly affect your actions. I gave the teens a phrase two Sunday nights ago. And I said, and maybe those that are the teens that have wrote it down will remember this. You do what you do, and you say what you say, because you think what you think. You think what you think because you believe what you believe about God, His Word, and yourself. Wait a second, that was huge. Can you back up and rewind for a second? You do what you do, and you say what you say, because you think what you think. You think what you think because you believe what you believe about God, His Word, or yourself. Everything that you say and do comes from right here. Okay? Comes from the head, comes from the heart. We have a nifty word for that, and that nifty word is attitude. Because it's a combination of a heart and a head thing. Okay? The definition of attitude is the direction your mind is pointing on a given subject. Alright? So, technically speaking, it's a mindset. Is what attitude is. It's a mindset. It can be spiritual or just mental. Okay? Either one. Now we realize that as we go on tonight, we're going to realize that our attitudes, Paul gives us a list of specific attitudes we're supposed to have. They're found in Galatians chapter 5. You can disagree with me tonight afterwards, but I believe that the fruits of the Spirit are 9 attitudes. Okay? If you think about that, it really does make sense. There are 9 mindsets. 9 mindsets that every believer should have. All right? I was given a famous quote, and the quote was by Chuck Swindoll, and he stated this. He said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on my life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It will make or break a company. It will make or break a church. Attitude will make or break a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, And that is our attitude. I am convinced, he wrote, that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. You are in charge of your attitude. True. It's absolutely true. You realize that not only can attitudes be positive or negative, they can be right and wrong. Attitudes can be beneficial or harmful. They can be encouraging or discouraging. And believe it or not, I have come across some people that once I met them, I was extremely encouraged. And then I've come across other people that once I met them, I left so discouraged it wasn't funny. Why is that? Because of their attitude. Matter of fact, already today, I have already had to tell my kids to watch their attitude. Constantly. I can remember growing up in the Loggins home. There was four of us siblings. We didn't go an hour often in our home where my dad didn't tell one of us four to watch our attitude. That statement, if I could summarize my growing up, was watch your attitude. John, watch your attitude. Anna, watch your attitude. Jesse, watch your attitude. James, watch your attitude. Correct your attitude. Your attitude has to change. I can still remember it in my mind as my dad would say it. Why? Why? Because my attitude didn't just affect me. My attitude affected Anna, Jesse, James, Mom, and Dad. So it too was with my brothers and sisters. Their attitude affected me. I can remember waking up and I was home-teached, homeschooled, and I can remember waking up, getting ready for school that morning. Of course, it doesn't take long. You can do school in your pajamas if you're homeschooled. Isn't that right? And coming downstairs, and I can remember coming down, being excited about the day, and I don't remember what was going on, and noticing my mom had a bad attitude. And I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to seriously go an entire day with my mom having a bad attitude. It ruined the whole day. It really did. Mom having a bad attitude, you know, being sour, and I don't remember what the problem was or anything like that, but mom having a bad attitude, it was almost as if there was a storm cloud over our house the whole day. Until whatever mom's attitude was, and I don't know what it was, until it passed by, then it seemed like the sun came back out and we could breathe again. Now, I know that that has never happened in your home. But it was like that in our home. You know what I'm saying? And I can remember my dad being that way. If something at church was really weighting on his shoulders, it was as if there was a stress level there. And it was there was constant tension. And we were all at odds and not sure what to say or do. And Dad's attitude, if he came with the mindset, hey, look, God is in control. And we can cast all our care upon Him. Then guess what? We all went around with a smile on our face. Realizing my God is greater than anything that we can ever think or imagine or do. But it was all about my dad's attitude. All right? Tonight, we're going to see three specific things in regards to attitude. But before we get that far, I mentioned the fact that our attitude is the direction your mind is pointing on a given subject. As I was studying this and going over this, I re-went over something that was interesting. When it comes to space terminology and the space shuttle itself, they're interested in three things for the space shuttle. Does anyone remember what the three things are? Those of you that are astrophysicists or nuclear scientists or anything, you'll know what these things are. Brother Jones, you probably already have them down. But there's three things that they're interested in when it comes to a space shuttle. Does anybody know what one of them is? Okay, the attitude of the space shuttle. We'll talk about what that is. What else? Nope, they really don't care about safety. But we'll get to that. They're interested in altitude, the altitude. There's one that starts with a P. Yep, the pitch. They're interested in the attitude, altitude, and pitch. And of all three of those, you can have an altitude of some thousands of feet. Your pitch can be right on. But if your attitude of that space shuttle is not right, you're in a world of hurt. Now, when they say an attitude of a space shuttle, that's the direction that the nose of the space shuttle is pointing. Okay? You might be at, let's say, 35,000 feet. Your altitude and your pitch, that seems fine. But if your nose of that space shuttle is pointing directly towards Earth, and you're going, say, several hundred miles an hour, that can be a problem. Because you realize that in a few short minutes, your whole space shuttle is going to crash if you're not ready for that. Also, if it's going and it keeps going in the wrong direction, you realize that when it comes to space, if they're off by 1 degree, they've just missed an entire planet. They've just missed the entire mission that they were ready to go. Why? Because that attitude of that space shuttle is vital for their success. It's the same way with our lives, folks. Our attitude, the direction to which our mindset is pointing on any given subject, is critical, and especially critical when it comes to your spiritual success. Because there are, and we're going to go through them, but before we get to Galatians chapter 5, give me some attitudes that we can have. If you're thinking about it, well, give me some mindsets or attitudes a believer should have or should not have. Mr. Jenkins? Thankfulness. It's a great one. Thankfulness or gratefulness, either one, that's a great attitude every believer should have. I almost preached on that. What else? Okay, we can have the opposite attitude of selfishness. That's absolutely right. That's a wrong attitude, which we too often have. Rather than being grateful, we are selfish. And that's very true. What else? Those are very good ones. Come on, there's more. There's a whole bunch more. Yes. Okay, we can be respectful in the fact that we have a right attitude towards authority. That's very true. Yes. That goes when I was talking about somebody the other day, saying yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. That's a right attitude towards authority. That's true. What else? Humility. That is fantastic. It's a great attitude. We're going to get to that because Christ had that attitude. Okay? Brother Jackson. Okay. Yes. The attitude to forgive. Absolutely. That's a fantastic one. Okay. A loving attitude. Yes. True. We're going to hit on that one as well. A pride or a haughty spirit. The Bible talks a ton about pride and the word is haughty. And absolutely awful attitude, but it is so prevalent in today's day and age, it's not funny. Even in the workplace, you find it a ton. Yes. Okay, gratefulness goes with thankfulness. Very good. What else? Come on, there's a whole bunch more. Okay, bitterness is an attitude. That is absolutely true. It's the opposite of forgiving. Okay, a forgiving attitude, it's the opposite. You take it, it goes along with revenge. It goes along with anger. Anger is an attitude. And that's true. What else? Okay, she said loving, that's true. A hateful attitude would go along parallel bitterness and anger, both. Yes, revenge, all of that. What else? Selfishness, true. JJ said that. What else? Maddie? Okay, obedience is an attitude. We're going to find that in Philippians chapter 2. Obedience is an attitude, yes. What else? I saw one way in the back. Disobedience, the opposite of obedience, disobedience. Wrong attitude, right attitude, wrong attitude. Okay, what else? Mia? Joy! It's your middle name, and yet you don't often have it. Joy is an attitude. It is, and it's the right attitude, okay? Anger or a mean spirit is the wrong attitude, but joy is a great attitude. Philippians 4:4, rejoice means to joy again, okay? That's an attitude, absolutely. What else? Anybody else? Okay, let me give you a few. You realize that sorrow is an attitude. Sorrow is an attitude. Cheerfulness, which goes along with joy, is an attitude. The Bible mentions lying as an attitude. A deceitful attitude. That is an attitude. Jealousy. Friendliness is an attitude. Meekness is an attitude. Contentment. Peace. There was one other. The Bible mentions in 1 Samuel 16:22. That evil is an attitude. Opposite of evil would be good. And that is an attitude. It really is. It's true. All right. And I mentioned already that our attitudes govern our actions. You don't have just an action just because of something. First of all, you've thought about it. It went into your heart. And because of that, you end up doing something. Most people that commit murder don't just kill somebody. Most of the time. You get in prison longer if it is what's called premeditated murder. You've thought about it. You've conjured about how you're going to do it. All right? That was something that thought about it. And then what did it do? That which was in their head and in their heart came out in their actions. All right. It's the same way with your attitude. If you end up loving somebody and being kind to that person, that was a manifestation of that which was on the inside. I have known people, and let me give you just a recent example. I told you that I was praying for Angie Becker. I've been praying for Angie. My wife and I both have been praying for Angie for quite some time now. You say, well, why? Why Angie? Why not like JJ or Heath or Keith? We pray for them as well. But Angie specifically, as we watched Angie and her countenance, her outward demeanor, that which showed on her face and came out in her life, we realized that which she had told us in regards to her salvation just didn't match up her life. And when you have something like that, it shows either one of two things. Either they got sin in their life, a constant sin problem, or there was no true salvation to begin with. Okay? All it does is manifest that which is on the inside, her heart, just manifested itself on the outward. And it would be in her actions, that which she would say. Sometimes it would be her reaction to things. God's word was preached. And this is not to pick on Angie, because Angie's just a classic example of how you and I were before we were saved. Am I right? When God's word was preached, Angie was, who cares? You know what I'm saying? She had an apathy, which is an attitude, an apathy towards God's word. Okay? We can have that same attitude even after we get saved. We can demonstrate, and it can be part of us. You're there in Philippians chapter 2. I told you that I was going to look at three attitudes that Christ had. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says this. Let this mind, that word mind right there, and I re-looked it up today just to make sure that I wasn't off my rocker when I studied it the first time. That mind, that word mind right there, is attitude. Okay? It's the same definition that we have. Let this mind, or let this attitude, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're gonna find three attitudes that he has. One is found in verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a... Do you realize that servanthood is an attitude? Servanthood is an attitude. And it's something that is hard to get and develop. It doesn't come overnight. Something you have to constantly work at. It is often said and stated again. that of all the people in church, usually 10% of the people in church do 90% of the work. Why? Because they've developed this aspect of a right servant attitude. Okay? Then it goes on in verse number 8, gives you the second attitude. And being found fashioned as a man, he, what's that word? Humbled himself. Humility is an attitude. And then third, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ had those three attitudes. Servanthood, obedience, humility. I tell you what, if you were to just take those three things and say, hey, in the remainder of the year that I have left, I'm going to work on those three things, you would grow by leaps and bounds spiritually. You would. You would have a right countenance, right spirit, one that others would see, and you would be an encouragement and a tremendous positive influence to others if you just had those three. Go with me quickly back to Proverbs. I told you I was going to go there, and I need to. Proverbs, really quick. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, verse number 7, it says this. For as he thinketh, there's your head, in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh, in his heart, so is he. As a person's attitude is, your actions will demonstrate it. You don't have to tell me what's going on the inside. It's evident right here. And it'll be evident right here. And it'll be evident right there. Because what's on the inside has to manifest itself on the outside. And those are the ways as human beings they manifest on your face, in that which you do with your hands, in that which you do with your feet. It also comes out of your mouth, of course. I know one person specifically, they tried hard to imitate a Christian's life. They did a real, real, real good job all the way till there was one particular day that they slipped up. And I don't remember what I was doing or what, but you could tell that it had been part of this person's inner core for a long time. He did something. All of a sudden, he swore two or three times right in a row. He goes, hoping that I didn't hear it. And I'm like, what did you just say? And he got this big smile on his face. And I said, that shouldn't be the language of a Christian. He goes, well, I tried hard. I swear a lot at work. And I just didn't want any of the church people to know about it. Well, hello, if it's on the inside and it's going through your head and your heart and your mind, guess what? Eventually it's going to come out in your mouth. You're going to say it. And he goes, you know, I've struggled with it a long time. And I said, well, it's something. He goes, I used to do it before I was saved. I said, well, it's something you got to get a hold of. You got to get a hold of it now because it's something. It's an area of your heart that God has. And he took God's name in vain. It was quite blatant. And I said, that's sin. That's wrong. And it shouldn't be part of you as a believer. And praise the Lord, it changed. But what's on the inside will demonstrate it. You realize that there are other things. Not only is the word mind or mindset part of the Bible vocabulary for attitude, but also countenance and spirit. Often if you see the word spirit, you see the word countenance in Scripture, those two words are also another word, same definition of attitude as what's often used in the Bible. I told you we'd go to Galatians chapter 5. Quickly go there. It'll be the last thing that we go to, Galatians chapter 5. These are just some of the attitudes that Paul lists for us. I believe that there's several other attitudes that as believers we should do. I believe that we should have the attitude to grow as a Christian. I believe every Christian should have the attitude to grow, constantly becoming more and more like Christ. You say, is that really an attitude? Yeah. The opposite of that is not caring, which is apathy. Just don't care. I'm fine how I am. Leave me alone. I'm 70 years old. I'm not going to change. That's the wrong attitude. It really is. You should be of the mindset that I'm constantly needing to change and be more like Christ. Another one, we should have the mindset to witness. An attitude that those around us, and I talked to the teens about this on Sunday morning, that those around us are on their way to hell, and I need to have compassion. I need to show love for them and show to them their tremendous need of a Savior. That's an attitude is really what that is. I believe that we should have the attitude, a cheerful attitude. I mentioned that, but how often it is, if you're the first person, they come in our doors on Sunday morning, and maybe Lem invited them from work, unsaved completely, comes in, and Brother Jackson meets them at the door. He had a bad day on Saturday. He's carried it through on Sunday, and you can quite tell on his face, if looks could kill, everybody would be dead. And he's the first one to greet Lem's coworker. Think he wants to be here? Think he'll want to stay? Think it'll make or break his day? Probably break it. You know what I'm saying? We pray on Sunday morning for our door greeters. Why? Because it's important that the very first people that they see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ on their face. The joy. Joy comes from the inside. But Ephesians chapter 5, right at the end, he gives, and it's very, very easy. Right before that, it gives, in verse number 19, wrong attitudes. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, so and so forth, all the way through. Those are all attitudes of the flesh. But when we come to verse number 22, the Bible, Paul specifically, writing to the Galatians, says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Basically, these attitudes are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And clearly this part is a duh. It says, against such there is no law. In essence, to make a law against any one of these would be crazy. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, and what's that word right there? Walk in the Spirit. These should be evidences of a Christian that has the right attitude. Question is how's your attitude? How's your attitude tonight? How's your attitude? Like I said, your attitude is going to be to a whole bunch of different things. How's your attitude to work? How's your attitude towards your spouse? Kids, how's your attitude toward your parents? Parents, how's your attitude towards your kids? How's your attitude towards your pastor? How's your attitude towards your youth pastor? How's your attitude towards your fellow church members? The only one that knows the answer to those questions is you. God definitely knows. But you know it. Tonight, I just want to ask you one question. Would you please do an attitude check? Would you please do an attitude check? Say, God, you're the one that knows me. How's my attitude? Father, I ask.